I got an email from an Arab kid that went to one of our schools. His father was the ambassador from an Arab nation, and it was one of our schools in Korea. And the boy went to his principal and said, I want to know the name of whoever started this school. And so she gave him my name and email address, and he wrote me this letter. And he said, I never knew of Jesus Christ before I came to this school. And he said, now I have accepted Christ as my own personal Savior. And he said, I am now an Arab follower of Christ.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing programs to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Johel, we welcome you to HBU. And we've heard all about the tremendous organization you have. Tell us about it.
Well, the Lord has allowed us over our lifetime to be able to be involved in some things that we didn't plan on. You know how God does that sometimes. I was serving as a missionary with my family in Korea. And when my oldest child got to be school age, we couldn't find an educational option for our children. And so kind of out of desperation, we started a little school with one teacher and eight missionary kids. And God began to do something that was way beyond what we could have ever imagined. The school began to grow and grow and grow. We expanded into four different campuses in Korea. And God began to show us how through the environment of an international Christian school staffed by Christian teachers, but with open doors to everyone to come and participate in that school, that we were actually seeing more people come to Christ through that school setting than we were in the rest of our ministry. Mm-hmm. And so God began to just kind of open our eyes to what He was doing. And I was praying the whole time, God, when can I get back to the main thing you called me here to do? And God, which He has every right to do, kind of let us know that the main thing had changed, and He had the right to change that. And so we began to do some research on international schools and what was happening worldwide in the whole realm of international schools. I was familiar with missionary kids' schools, mm-hmm. which were primarily just for Christian kids or missionary kids, but what we were doing didn't fit that mold very well. And so I began to do research and to visit some other countries and see what was going on in the international school realm. And God began to formulate a vision in my heart, as well as some of my team members, that if we could expand the international Christian school movement around the world, it might be a way that basically it could be self-financed, and we could reach kids from all over the world. For instance, our school in Seoul, Korea has 1,000 students with kids that come from about 60 different nations. Mm. They all speak English. This is an American-style English-speaking school. The school is totally self-supporting, and we're able to place all Christian teachers there, and we're just seeing tremendous spiritual results and kids from all different countries and backgrounds coming to know Christ.
And that school in Korea began when? What year?
That school is 30 years old.
Now. 30 years old.
So, yeah, we started small, and that's the way we've started most of our schools.
And your footprint now has stretched out even beyond Korea. Tell us about all the different countries.
God has blessed in amazing ways because He planted the idea in our hearts that if this is so effective in reaching kids for Christ in Korea, is it possible that it might be effective doing something very similar in other countries? So I went on about a 2-year crusade to research international schools. Mm-hmm. I did some traveling to 7 different countries and visited every school I could visit and see what they were doing. Every school I visited was in a major building program. Every school I visited was filled to capacity. And God just started to show us that maybe this could happen in other places in the world now. So we've just been so blessed as we, by faith, have gone beyond the boundaries of Korea. And now we have 17 schools in 15 different nations.
Could we name those 15 nations? That's astounding.
Sure. I think I can remember all of them since I was involved in planting those schools. But we have 3 schools in Korea. We have 1 school in Japan, in Nagoya. We have a school in China in a city called Kunming. We have a school in Indonesia in the city of Bandung. We have a school in Singapore, which is our 2nd largest school. We're opening a brand new project in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia this fall with a capacity for 650 students, and we're getting ready to open that up right now. We have 2 schools in Africa. One is in Kenya and one is in Ghana. We have schools in Venezuela, Brazil, Bolivia, and Peru. And we also have a school in the U.S. too, which is a fully accredited online school that's based in the U.S., but our students are all over the world. And a lot of missionaries especially that are in areas where there are no school alternatives for their children, they can study in a full accredited school online.
And so give us the website of your ministry.
NICS.org. NICS.org.
Okay. And then the online school in North America, what is its website?
North Star Academy. And actually, if you'll go to the NICS website, you can click on the link to North Star.
So the composition of the students and the pupils in these various schools, they're not just all Christians, are they?
They're not all Christians, and they're certainly not all Americans.
Right.
I got a report from our school in Turkey, and I didn't mention that school earlier, but we do have a school in the capital of Turkey, Ankara. And we just moved that school into a new campus, and it's just growing and growing and growing. And it's a school of about 300, but in that school, there's again, 50 nations that are represented in that school. So we have open enrollment. Matter of fact, we ran a school in Afghanistan for 10 years, and almost about 99% of all of our students were Muslims.
Mm.
And some countries you can take nationals into an international school. Some countries there's a quota on how many nationals you can take. And in places like China, we can't take any nationals. So it just depends on the laws of that country. But In Malaysia, for instance, in our new school, there's no quotas whatsoever. So you could have 100% Malaysians. But typically, who we get are the children of business owners, international business people from all over the world, diplomats' children, missionaries' children, people that are living overseas for some reason and want a Western-style education for their children or want their children to study in universities in the West.
Now, how long does it take for the schools to become self-supporting?
It depends on the situation, but typically we have started very small. And when you're small, you can kind of make ends meet because your bills aren't so great. But the world is really changing. And a lot of people that are using education to make profit, frankly, are moving into our world so that our traditional way of building schools may not really work in the future. It's worked well for us to this point. We are a missions organization. We do everything by donations and charitable donations. And we're getting to a place where our competitors now are coming into our little small startups right down the road, so to speak, and starting big, building out a full facility first and then opening. And they operate those schools for profit. So we're just praying as we look at the future that God will make a way for us so that we can be sensitive to what our market is demanding now, because by placing Christian teachers into these schools, the influence for Christ is really quite amazing. And our hope is to be into every nation and to reach everyone we can reach with the gospel.
And your constituents of teachers, I heard you say in our meeting a moment ago, was about 900 faculty?
Yes, we have about 900 teachers. Most of them come from North America. And
how do you recruit those teachers to come? Because I know here at HBU today, you're helping our people understand that there's an opportunity with an education degree, not just domestically, but internationally.
Yes. Well, to get 200 teachers a year, that's how many we're mobilizing annually now, we have to do everything we can and go everywhere we can to try to find them. And we love schools like HBU because, you know, we need committed Christian teachers who have a heart for the world and have a heart to use education not just to teach children facts, but to influence children for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're all about.
Now, I have to ask you, I mean, because you obviously have successfully pioneered a model. Has it ever crossed your mind to get some Christian men together with great resource and to venture people and to use the same strategy that businessmen are using in building these schools with the model you have that has the gospel, obviously, and Christian values attached to it?
As you are well aware, Jerry, there's a big movement in the States right now that's generally referred to as business as mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I am praying that God will lead me to the right kind of Christian businessmen who could invest in something that not only would be a good financial investment and a needed financial investment, but also where they could have a direct involvement. You know, a lot of businesses' mission is, you know, you support apple orchards so that you can have an opportunity to develop relationships with the guys that pull the apples off the trees and eventually share the gospel with them. That's amazing and that's wonderful. But we're able to do it directly. I mean, our ministry is not just a business, it is a ministry where 7 hours a day we have the opportunity to influence kids for Christ directly. And so I'm just praying that God will help us find some businessmen that could see not only would it be a great investment for the kingdom of God, but it'll also be a great business investment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm kind of absorbed with that right now. I'm 63 years old. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to keep doing this, but I'm going to do it as long as I can. I'm thinking about the future of our organization and knowing that the way we've done it in the past very well may not work for us in the future. If we're going to reach the world for Christ, we've got to think of alternative ways to do it. This is a way to place literally thousands of missionary teachers all around the world without requiring them to raise support. How awesome is that? And to be part of something that, while it is direct ministry, it is also a good business. There's a reason that these businessmen who are wanting to use education to make money are investing their money in this realm of international schools.
And Joe, we do want to add that education is the only vehicle for evangelism in many of these countries.
Jerry, I'm absolutely convinced that the new missionary visa is a teaching credential.
Mm-hmm.
And when I speak at schools like HBU, that's what I tell the students. Your teaching credential will get you into more places than any passport from any country or any visa can ever provide for you. Through education, there's basically no closed doors. We don't even call countries closed anymore. We just call it creative access.
Exactly, exactly. And if I could take every American and do one thing with them, I would pull them out of America and put them in Asia for one day to change their perspective. You and I both know 75% of Americans don't even have a passport. Most of our news is all about what happened down the street last night. And unlike the BBC in London, we're not praying globally like we should. We're not thinking globally. And sometimes I really wonder if God, you know, his greatest work today is outside of the United States that we pay so little attention to in this country. Now, you can comment on that because you know the world scene and you know the Asia scene. How would you sum up the opportunity, the population, the potential?
I couldn't agree with you anymore, and I don't know how to solve that problem. When I was just recently in four countries, just got back a few days ago, and while I was on the new campus that's almost finished, that we're getting ready to open in a Muslim country in Southeast Asia, I sat there and just looked around and had that very wish. If I could just bring God's people to this spot for 30 minutes,
exactly.
just 30 minutes, and let them see what's happening here. It would change their whole perspective. There would be no problem with fundraising.
Exactly.
Because I really do believe that the eye is the window to the heart, and most people will never see it. And I don't know how we can change that. But what I do know is that God is doing some amazing things in this country, but really amazing things outside this country as well. I got an email from an Arab kid that went to one of our schools. His father was the ambassador from an Arab nation, and it was one of our schools in Korea. And the boy went to his principal and said, I want to know the name of whoever started this school. And so she gave him my name and email address, and he wrote me this letter, and he said, I never knew of Jesus Christ before I came to this school. And he said, now I have accepted Christ as my own personal Savior. And he said, I am now an Arab follower of Christ. He's not giving up being Arab.
Sure.
He's in the bloodline of a country where he very well could end up being the president of that country or a powerful leader in that country. We are going to influence the nations by influencing the children of many of the people that are now leading those countries who are enrolled in our schools. We have that kind of opportunity. We have five children in our school. I better not name the country, but we have five children of a president of a Muslim nation that are in one of our schools, because he sends his children to another country because of security reasons. Mm-hmm. I would say the chances are fairly likely that his children will be the next president or in a powerful position of influence in those countries. Jerry, if we can reach these kids for Christ while they're with us, they can impact their countries far more than any foreign missionary could ever do that. That makes me get up every day excited.
And Joe, I couldn't agree with you more. I was in Beijing with CBN, and they were telling me that, you know, a number of the Communist Party, which we know is very small in China, that children of some of the communist elite who have been educated in the U.S. have come to Christ. And, you know, obviously they can't say anything about it, and they can't identify who's who, just like you can't. But the reality is that God so loved the world. And that's why here at HBU, we're at the intersection of the world in Houston. We have 1,000 flights a day at Bush. We have 700 flights a day at Hobby. We've got nearly 2,000 flights a day. And you can go nonstop from this city virtually all over the world. The founders of HBU have had a vision from the beginning that HBU would have an impact, not just domestically, but internationally. And that's where I think you're important to the connection point and to that. And you know, I followed you for decades from the early days when I went to Liberty. Looking back, I mean, would you have ever thought that you could see this kind of traction so fast with North and South Korea? I mean, lay aside presidents and all that, because you and I both know how those South Koreans pray. And the unwritten story in all the New York Times and all the other is the prayers, the efficacy of the prayers of South Koreans. truly at work.
Yes.
What do you think when you think about the possibility of a DMZ no more?
I think it's terribly exciting, and I think the South Korean Christians are very, very excited about it. I'm close enough to the situation after living in Korea for 15 years and knowing lots of people there that there's equal skepticism
sure.
to what's going on right now, you know, with the positive aspects of it. And actually, Korea has become such a prosperous country mm-hmm. that when you say, the Koreans did a study on the reunification of Germany and how opening up Eastern Germany with all of its poverty so affected the economy of the Germans that were used to being a wealthier group. The Koreans are struggling right now with, do we really want this?
Yeah, sure.
You know, but honestly, the Christians have prayed for this for years and years and years. And is this a genuine thing that really might happen? Only God knows that. But I think we have to be hopeful. I mean, hopeful that the fact that dialogue is even being talked about, where for years having dialogue was not even on the table of conversation. So
right.
I can't wait to put a school in Pyongyang.
Well, the stories I've heard is that city was at one time called the East Jerusalem, and it was a mecca of Christian activity. Joe, we're really excited about you being at HBU, and we just are so honored to watch the way God's used you. And our prayers are with you. We continue our dialogue with you. You know, education majors, we have about nearly 50 major degrees here at HBU and a very robust graduate school. That's had about 90% growth in about 6 years and not stopping anytime soon. Mm. But in our online endeavors, we're just beginning to cast that vision. And you certainly have set a great example to follow. How can we pray for you, and how can we stay alert to what you're doing, and how we might be able to help?
Thank you. This is the time of year, as anyone that's an educator knows. We used to call it May Madness, but we changed it to May Merriment. But it really is madness.
Yeah.
But this is the time of year, you know, when a teacher that's been investing in a student, sometimes those students are going to move on to another country with their families. And So this is a time of year when we typically see a lot of spiritual reaping of seeds that have been planted, sometimes for years, in the hearts of students. So I wish you would really pray for our students. They come from about 120 different nations and altogether, and many of them are going to places where they may not hear the gospel again, but they're in a place right now where they can hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Just pray that God's Spirit will draw them, they will ask those questions, and that our staff will be ready and there for them. A lot of our schools use the seasons during the school year as a way to present the gospel. So they talk about around the Christmas season, they talk about the advent of Christ and who is Christ and what was he all about. And then in the spring, you know, they talk about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And these are opportunities to do school plays and productions and activities where parents come in to see their children perform. And the children, you know, are given the message of the gospel. And so a lot of times that seed begins to take root. And then by the end of the school year, we see a lot of fruit. So that would be my main prayer. Organizationally, I've already shared with you, you know, what I see as our major need. This is something God's going to have to do. And I just pray that he will bring us the right people and the right connections to find a way that we can get this amazing way of sharing the gospel out to every nation. I was just in Vietnam week before last, and opportunity there just open everywhere you look. Advancing country, kind of coming out of the dark ages. And my heart just beat a little faster because we have to be consumed with seeing his glory taken to all nations.
We've been listening to Joe Hill, and he's one of America's great leaders who has a vision for the world. Check out his ministry, and we look forward to a future dialogue and relationship with Joe and his great ministry. Thank you, Joe, for being with us.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
Here at HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.